Hi, my name is Anna Marcoline. I'm a psychotherapist and life coach who's been practicing for 25 years. This podcast is my way of continuing to pay it forward. I am here with you as a therapist and life coach, but I'm also coming to you as a wife, mother, daughter, sister, and a friend. I'm here with you, and I want you to know that you're not alone. Welcome. Hey, everyone. Happy New Year. How are you all doing? I am dealing with a cold, so my voice may sound a little bit different, but here we go. I'm powering through, talking to all of you about habit change. So if you are on my email list, I just sent out an email about the importance of making changes to our habits when we want to self-improve and we want to work on personal development. If you follow me on Instagram, I talk about it quite a bit on there as well. So follow me on Instagram, ask Anna Marcoline, and then you can see all the good stuff that I'm putting out there. But this is an important episode because New Year's resolutions, they don't work, and we know it. I think most of you listening know they don't work. Actually, research shows that by January 19th, everybody's or most people's New Year's resolutions are gone. They're just gone. We're no longer maybe meditating. We're not going to the gym. We're still on our phones late at night in bed. It doesn't work and it's out the window. So today we're going to talk about five steps you can take towards habit change that are very doable and very actionable. So I want this to be something that's realistic and that's manageable because I know that, oh my gosh, if you scroll on social media, on TikTok or on Instagram, everybody's talking about resolutions and habit changes, and everybody's talking about what they did in 2023. And I think that you can really get into compare and despair about how your 2023 sucked and how you want to be different this year, and I'm going to do it, and then it gets hard. So I think it can be hard. It can be hard to be on social media and to watch what these other people are doing, and we think they're so much better than us. They're not. They're people like you and me, and they started out small too. So I want to share with you what many of them are doing, I know they're doing, and what are the actionable steps that we know work.
I love this already.
Yeah.
Yeah, here's what I find interesting. So we start talking about New Year's resolutions, and this happens like at this point every single year, every year of your entire life, right?
It's always been a thing.
Yeah. Why? I mean, it's funny. We had a good conversation about this at work probably a month or two ago. Like, why do we have to wait until January 1st? Like, why does that have to be the magical day?
I don't know where that comes from. I mean, I've never been a New Year's resolution person. I started making changes in some things in my business and in my fitness life in October and November. Yeah. You know, I don't know why it has to be January 1st. I don't know. I think it's putting it on a pedestal and it's setting it's putting something on a pedestal that's too high, and for many people, too hard to reach. And I just bristle at that. We know it doesn't work. You know, we did an episode on here. I don't know if it was last year or 22 or 21. I don't remember what year we did it. We talked about all the people when you were working at, in a gym and all the people that were there January 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th. And you said by February, it was like back to its normal population of the regular morning people that were there 6 months prior, but it'd be jammed. Every January, the gym is jammed, but come February 1st, it's back to normal. And I know from being a member of gyms for however, you know, many decades, like, oh God, here comes the January, you know, New Year's resolutions people.
The big influx of folks, right?
The big influx. But you knew that you'd get and now I'm dating myself by saying this, but you knew you'd get a Stairmaster or a treadmill, or you'd be able to, you know, you'd get to your machines, just wait a couple of weeks or come in a little bit of off hours because, you know, those individuals would no longer be coming. And I think it's hard. I think that we set ourselves up to fail by saying, I'm going to do this. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about what are those easy steps that you can take to start to make habit change. All right. Number one, start small. Start really, really small. Maybe in the rest of the month of January now, what is it's going to be January 3rd, 4th, we drop this. Maybe just set a water bottle by your bedside table. Maybe that's something you do. And if you say, Anna, I'm not doing that because if I drink before bed, I'm just going to get up and have to pee all night. And of course, most of you know what I care about. Number one, the most important piece of mental health for my clients and anybody who knows me, I'm going to say this to you, is get your sleep, getting 7 to 8 hours of sleep a night. So if you say to me, I'm going to pee all night. Okay, that's fine. Try to drink your water throughout the day. Still put the water bottle by your bedside table so that maybe you wake up. Sometimes I wake up a little parched, you know, your mouth is dry, take a sip of water. Doesn't mean it's going to have you peeing, but just have it there. That's a habit. That's habit change. It's a habit. It's the actual act of putting the water bottle by your bedside table that is bringing about change. And you get to feel good that every night that water bottle is there, and then it stays there. And then before you go to bed, you fill it up. Okay.
I like that. I think so for me, when you start talking about like what to do, like what's the change, and you start talking about adding things, there's a moment of like, well, you have to educate yourself about what you're talking about, what you're adding, right? And then you have to plan out like how you're going to do that, when it's going to happen, what's the prep for that. I think look at it more of like, what can you remove? That seems to be a little bit more of like a low-hanging fruit change, doesn't it? I mean, it's like, I'm going to take this out, and all you have to do is not do it, versus like if you're adding something, that's a whole, you got to really think that through, right? Like, I'm going to start working out. Okay, well, what does that mean? I got to get a gym membership.
Dial that down. What does that mean? Don't say you're just going to join a gym or you're going to lose 20 pounds. That doesn't work.
Right.
If you found yourself saying that, now you know, stop saying that. Don't say you're going to lose 20 pounds. Break it down. Get real granular and detailed about it. Write it down. What does that mean? Maybe a 6-month goal is that you'd like to lose 20 pounds by July 1st. Okay, that's doable. Then break that down into manageable bite-sized pieces. You know, I think that when we talk about, you know, I just said start small. I think it's also important for you all to know and to expect it to be hard. Habit change is hard. I know that I was thinking about before recording today this morning early, and I was thinking about what I was going to say about all this. And I think about the times. So some of you know, maybe some of you don't know, that I was a triathlete for 20 years. My last race was in 22. And I took a break just because I'm a little burnt out from triathlon, swim, biking, and running for 20 years. I'm, you know, a little bit of a break. But, you know, I got a coach in 2013 until 22. And if it wasn't for her, so I was pretty good about training in the years prior to that. But there'd be times that I would take a break. Maybe I'd blow off a workout. Maybe there were two a days I had to do and I wouldn't do one. There was no accountability for me. And when I hired my coach and I paid her good money, I'm telling you, money talks. So you're paying the kind of money I was paying, you're going to do, I'm invested financially and emotionally and mentally. I'm invested in her, and I trusted her to help me change. She did. But one of the reasons why I made the changes in myself, became the much better triathlete that I did, and got on podiums in almost every race I was in. I was in first, second, or third in my age group in almost every race I did, right, Tim?
Yeah.
From 2014 on till 22, I expected myself to be on the podium. That's because I had a coach that I paid for. But here's another piece. It was so freaking hard, and there were days I didn't want to do it. But you know what got me, like running at 7 o'clock at night for 45 minutes, was freezing cold out, was because I had accountability, and I knew that she'd be like, what's up? What happened? So that's an important piece. I think another piece is that I knew that somebody else would be looking at what I was doing. If I was just left to my own devices when I was tired on a Thursday night, I probably wasn't going to do that. Let's not do it and say we did kind of attitude was that I would sometimes have before I hired my coach. And that's really important. So she was, I had accountability partner, and she could see all my data because we shared data through an app that all the many endurance athletes use. She could see everything I was doing. And I think that that's a really important piece of this, that start small and expect it to be hard. I found it to be so hard at times, and that's okay. But you can't think to yourself, this is going to be easy, or I'll be able to do it. That's okay. Tell yourself you'll be able to do it. There will be days when you will feel like I can't do it. Okay. Unless you're sick, and there are days we do have really crazy schedules. Okay. That's okay. But most days you can do it. Know that it's going to be hard. Know that you are not going to feel like it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a mindset. You're telling yourself,
totally,
it's going to be tough, and at the same time, I'm still going to do my best.
Right.
Right?
Right, right. Okay, so that's number one. Number two is you got to be consistent. You got to be consistent. I think that might be the most important tip I could share here, is that when you want to make habit change, be consistent with it. So even though I don't drink water throughout the night, because I'm the person who will be getting up and peeing, I'll take a sip before I go to sleep. Sometimes I'll wake up if I'm dehydrated because I probably didn't drink enough water the day before, and I will take some water. I'll take a gulp. But what's happened is that it's there every single day. You know, it's by my bedside table every day. It's often halfway full or even full. But what I do is I wake up in the morning, I take a big gulp of it to get my day started. I go pee, and then I'll come back over to it and I'll drink it. But it's there. And that's what's really important.
It's like a constant.
It's consistent.
Yeah.
Consistency, consistency, consistency. I think really that is one of the most important things I could tell all of you. Be consistent. That's why you got to start out small, because you have to know that these are actionable steps that are realistic for you.
I mean, think about the bad habits that we have, right? It's the same thing. It's consistency, but in a bad way.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I consistently do this and it drives me crazy because that's a bad habit. And I don't like that. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
You know, it's like another goal could be, you're going to floss your teeth every day. I mean, I had a dental hygienist tell me years ago, she said, I'd rather people floss their teeth rather than brush their teeth. Flossing your teeth is so important in the prevention of cavities and having to, you know, get root canals done and all this, you know, painful, expensive dental work. Floss your teeth. I never forgot she said it. And what I tell clients is, you know, put your floss out by your sink, just like your toothbrush, put your floss there so that, you know, you're not going to bed, you're looking at your floss. So if you're saying no to your floss, and you know, there are times I don't do it because I'm just damn tired. But most nights I do floss. And my dentist and the hygienist always can tell because I'm a pretty good flosser. Because yeah. I never forgot she said that.
Yeah.
So put your floss out, put it by the faucet so that you see it. Maybe that's one change for you in maybe the first 3 months of 2024. Floss your teeth every night. Or floss your teeth four nights a week if you don't floss at all. That's huge.
It's big.
It's very doable.
I mean, I think what I do is also I'll floss at night, and then I know the first thing I'm doing when I wake up is brushing my teeth.
Yeah.
So I'll leave the floss literally right next to my toothbrush on the counter. Like it's there again. It's like, okay, I'm doing it again 8 hours later. You know what I mean?
You can't avoid it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next one is to really set clear goals for yourself. So I've already mentioned it, but this is another one. It's the theme throughout this entire episode is set clear goals for yourself. You know, define what success looks like for you. What would make you feel successful? If you could say, come July 1st, I have that water bottle by my bedside table. It's there every single day now. I fill it up at night before I go to bed or the next day, you know. You get to feel really good about that. So set those goals. Maybe it's flossing. Maybe it's you're going to work out 4 days a week, not seven. If you can get to maybe 6 days. But set a goal, a clear goal, that you're going to work out 4 days a week for 45 minutes for the next, let's say, 3 months. Let's check in with yourself March 1st or April 1st. Do that. And what does that look like? Are you in the home gym? Are you going to a gym? Are you downloading an app? Are you like, I'm on the ladder app? Are you on the Peloton app? Whatever it is for you, a walking app. Really break that down. What does that look like for you? So don't just say, I'm going to work out 4 days a week. Okay, 4 days a week for 45 minutes. Through who? Via what? Is it an app? Is it with a personal trainer? Is it you're doing a running group? Are you going to your gym? Are you doing Fit Bar 3 mornings a week? Break it down, spell it out, write it down for yourself. Okay. So those are really clear goals. They're going to really help you stay consistent and stay on track.
And I think along with that, you're talking about clarity. I mean, a goal that you set, I mean, this stuff that we do at work, it's like, it's got to be measurable, right? Like, define how you're measuring success. Like, when I talk to a new client, that's the first thing I talk about is the end. Like, what does success look like for you, you know? Yeah. And when you know what success looks like in their mind, you can kind of better draw up the game plan on how you're going to get there because you know where you're going.
Right.
Right? If you have no idea what success looks like for yourself or your client, like, how do you even know if you made it there or not? Maybe you did, right. Maybe you didn't, you know?
Right. You know, I know I talk a lot with clients, coaching clients around body image. And many of my clients, they don't really focus on an exact number of how much weight they want to lose. What they really want to work on is their mindset around food, around nutrition. And for those who do want to lose weight, they also, I always say to them, go by how your clothes fit. You know, some people do have a number on a scale they want to get to, but I really think you can really get caught up in numbers. And I tend to be anti-scale just because of the work I've done with people around eating disorders and disordered eating. I think scales can be, for most people, not all, for most people, not a good thing. So go by how your clothes fit. Go by, you know, if you want to get back to where you were maybe 3 years ago before COVID, okay. So you can start to work on your mindset and around habit change, and then maybe every 2 weeks try on the pair of jeans you want to get back into. That's realistic. Not the jeans from when you were 25 years old, unless you are 25, not the jeans when you're 18. Like, realistically, the jeans that you would fit into maybe 4 or 5 years ago, that there's no reason why I shouldn't be in those right now.
Right.
Okay. So I think that's a clear goal that you can go for yourself that doesn't make you totally crazy neurotic, but that's realistic and achievable, just using body image and weight loss as an example.
Yeah. Cause you can totally see that.
Right.
I mean,
right.
You can count the holes on your belt, right?
Yeah.
If that's what you do.
And like I said earlier, you know, you got to use behavioral activation. I've said this before in other episodes. Behavioral activation is what we use in the field of psychology. It's a term that we use. We talk about how motivation follows action. I'll say that again. Motivation follows action. So you got to take the action, and then you get the good stuff later. Then you get motivated by, I did it. I didn't want to go this morning. I was tired. I didn't feel like it, but I got my butt out of bed. I went to the gym. I went to that class. Now I feel good. Now I'm motivated. I'm motivated to get my day going, and I'm motivated to go back to the gym again tomorrow morning or in 2 days. Motivation follows action. You've heard me say on the podcast before, when I say change your behavior, drag the feelings. That's something I heard that 30 years ago from one of the nurse managers when I was working that was in eating disorders. And I never forgot it. She used to say it all the time. We ran a support group together. And she'd say, change your behavior, drag the feelings. And I always thought about, okay, change your behavior, like drag the feelings like your little kid dragging your blanket behind you. Just drag it, you know, but change the behavior. Dive into that cold water. And then what happens? You're like, oh, it's freezing. And then 30 seconds later, you're swimming. You're like, oh, it's not that bad. And here I am. I'm swimming my first lap.
Right.
And now you're motivated. You feel good. You're ready to get your swim workout going. Okay. So behavioral activation is really important. And what that means is you've got to take action first. Then you get the good feelings. Then you continue to feel that motivation. All right. Consistency is key. You're not always going to feel motivated. Do it anyway. Nike was genius when they branded themselves with the term "just do it." I don't know who came up with that. That was in that Nike documentary we watched. I forget who it was.
That was outstanding.
Genius.
Yeah.
Genius branding.
Yeah.
Okay. You don't need to feel good, guys and gals. You don't need to feel good. Just get going. Get started. Okay. Really, really important. Okay. Moving on with habit change. Track your progress. Track your progress. Track what you're doing.
So this falls in line with measurables, right? So this
we just talked about it.
Yeah.
Keep a journal. I'm on the Ladder app I just mentioned, and it's kind of silly and it works. I see the days on there that I have worked out, and the days I've worked out and completed the workout, I get a check mark next to the day. I mean, it seems so like childish in a way and young, but it whatever. I'm not going to even judge it. I love it. I love the check marks next to the Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You know, the days I've worked out, I love seeing the check mark next to it. It's a sense of accomplishment. It's a little thing, but it's a feel good.
There's so many things in life that are like that.
Yeah, and it tracks your progress. And they'll send me like, woohoo, you worked out 3 days in a row this week. I mean, they're little things, but these app builders are smart people. They know what works, right? And it does work because I get a little bit of a dopamine hit. I'm like, okay, I feel good. They're like, keep going. Or they'll send me a badge. I get like this silly badge. It's so silly. I mean, what can I do? They want you to post it to social media, which I'm not going to do that. But, you know, it still is a feel good to see the badge.
I mean, that's so it's just like Instagram,
right?
Yeah. The feel good is the little thumbs up that you get from who
people
knows
liking,
who. Yeah. But like everybody's all about like, well, how many likes did you get? Whatever.
And
right. But like that's the thing. It gets you.
And this is for fitness.
Yeah.
In this example of fitness. And it does make a difference. You know? So track your progress. I mean, maybe your goal is I'm going to journal 5 days a week. For the next 3 months, I'm going to sit down every day before I start my day. When I get up, I'm going to get my coffee and I'm going to go and journal for 10 minutes. That's a wonderful way to start your day. Or I'm going to meditate 3 times a week. I just journaled before we got on here. I mean, I've gotten away from it. And this is what I want to say too. This is important. Sometimes we get off our goals. It's okay. It's okay. There's no criticism, no judgment of yourself. This is an act of self-love and self-care. We get off our goals. Go back to them. Tomorrow's a new day. You can always go back and start anew. You know, no one's watching you. No one's criticizing you. This is all for you and your own personal development and self-improvement. So if you get off of something, you're like, yeah, I used to journal years ago. Okay, maybe tomorrow or maybe next Monday is a great way to start. A great day to start, I mean. You know, so I'm back to meditating. It was busy through the holiday season. Actually, it was busy fall and early winter, and now we're in January, and I'm back at it, and I feel great about it. There's no judgment. My life was busy, and right. Now I'm doing it.
Yeah.
So think about that. What's something that rejuvenates you, that is for you, that you can really kind of track your progress?
I was going to ask that question, like, because if you're talking about stuff that's measurable, and all of a sudden you start analyzing your numbers or your however it is you're measuring it, and you don't see that you're on track, like don't beat yourself up.
Right.
Right. Like just be good with the fact that you're still moving forward and you're not stopped. You haven't given up.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. There's no value in beating yourself up.
Yeah.
There's no value in that other than for that critical voice to come in, the noise in your head, ripping on you, putting you down. I mean, what is that doing for you? How does that help you?
Right.
And answer that question for you. How is it helping you? And 99.9% of you are going to say it's not helping. Then why are you doing it? Stop doing that. Okay. It's really important. Be flexible. This is hard stuff. That's what I bristle sometimes when I see all the posts on social media, because, you know, we see other people's successes. And we, like I said earlier in the podcast, we compare and despair. Don't compare. If it's not helpful for you to see what other people have done, then don't read their posts. And just be easy on yourself. And at the same time, you got to do the work. You got to put the work in if you want to see change, if you want to have habit changes stick. Okay? Be flexible with yourself. Love on yourself. And keep at it. Every day, keep at it. Okay?
And I think you hit on something there too, because if you're a frequent flyer on some social media platform, I believe it's safe to say that you're watching, not every time, but probably darn close to every time, somebody's success.
Yeah.
Right? They're not talking about their failure for the most part, right? They're bragging.
Some of them do, but here's my thing. You know, here's my thing. That's their journey.
Exactly.
It's not yours.
Yeah.
It's their journey. So you're watching them talk about their journey. And that's great. It's wonderful that's their journey. And that's where they're at today, that now they're they're meditating 6 days a week, and now they've lost 40 pounds and they look like they're rocking bod from they were 20 years old and they're 55. Great. And really, I mean it, great, but that's for them. And people do this on social media in the hopes that you will glean inspiration and motivation from them. And sometimes we do. And sometimes we just go down a rabbit hole of being like, I can't do that. We get all negative in our thoughts and our feelings. Remember, that's their journey. It's not yours. You could have one similar or you could have one that's very different. You do it your way. You do it your way. No more comparing and despairing. I get crazy about this because I see so much of it. And so if you want to use other people on TikTok and Instagram as motivation, inspiration and all, and it lifts you up and makes you feel like, yeah, I want to get after it, then absolutely keep going. And if they help you get after it, more power to you. I'm right there behind you, you know, high-fiving you. But if you find that it's not helpful, I would tell you, time to move away from social media, time to get into the present moment in your life, wherever you are in this world right now. Sit down, write out your goals, track your progress, know that it's going to be hard, know it's going to be hard, and stay consistent, okay? Remember, motivation follows action. That's that behavioral activation. Do the deed, and then you get the good stuff after, and keep at it, okay? And finally, I want to say to you, reward yourself. So maybe you went to the gym 4 times this week. Now reward yourself. And what's that going to be? Maybe reward yourself by, I don't know what it might be. I wouldn't say it'd be food because you're obviously going to the gym. Like, I don't know. Maybe it would be a yummy meal. Maybe it's a cheap meal. Well, okay. So maybe it is a cheap meal. Or reward yourself by, I'm going to plan myself a trip. I'm going to plan a 7-day all-inclusive to Mexico or the Caribbean. That's what I'm going to do. I am going to reward myself. Let's say I'm journaling 5 days a week now, and I'm going to reward myself by paying to join a journaling class with a master journaler to teach me how to journal in a more effective way or help me to meet my goals in a more effective way. Maybe I'm going to buy a coaching course. I'm going to buy a coaching package with Anna or with somebody else. You know, that's how I'm going to reward myself. I'm going to really invest even more into myself because I've already seen I can do a little bit of it on my own, but I want more help now. I want to go to that next level. So I'm going to pay that money, invest in coaching, or I'm going to pay that money and invest in psychotherapy because I really do need a therapist because I got some stuff I got to work out from my past, some things I need another opinion on, and the people I want to see, it seems like nobody's taking insurance these days. I want to invest in that. So I've gotten myself this far, and now I'm going to invest further into myself. And that's my reward. There's all kinds of ways that you can, you know, reward yourself for this, the good stuff that you're doing. And yeah. Do it. And really reward yourself. Okay? Yeah.
I mean, even like small stuff. Like along the way, along your journey. And you like...
Absolutely.
You kind of, right. You like right. Check your measurables. And you're like, oh, wow, I'm doing great. Okay, good. So go buy yourself another workout top or go get yourself a new pen for journaling, right? That makes you happy and reminds you of like what you did, right? That's like your little
good
trophy.
Good point, Tim. Because I was talking more of like bigger goals, like bigger rewards, the macro rewards. And you're talking about the micro. And that's interesting because whenever I get my clients into journaling, I always say to them, okay, this is what you're going to do when we get off our call this week. I want you to go. I think it's more fun to actually go somewhere. So go to Target, you can go to Walmart, or if you want to do it online, buy yourself a really cool journal, a fun journal, a beautiful journal, one that's appealing to you, the aesthetic, the cover, and get yourself a really great pen and make it a fun thing. Go out and make it something. Like I talked about on Instagram this week about like on New Year's Eve, making resolutions or write down what you're getting rid of in 2023, writing it down and then throwing it in the fire if you're near a fire, or crumpling up that piece of paper and like kind of dramatically throwing it in the trash. Whatever, that's a ritual. And this is another ritual for habit change, is going and buying yourself that beautiful new journal and pen. Another thing, and this is something that's really helped me, and I don't do this a lot because I would have no money, but I've done this for 25 years is I would get myself a cute new like workout outfit or maybe a pair of running shorts that I really wanted that had an eye on. Maybe it was a brand that was really expensive and they rarely went on sale. I told myself if I, you know, whatever, I achieved this in my weightlifting or I was able to run a certain pace or whatever the distance, if I ran 4 days a week, 5 days a week, I would invest in, I'd go get myself that. Right, that the running shorts or that workout top, that's a good point because I have done that for so many years. I even forgot to even talk about it until you said it right now.
Hmm.
And it feels good.
Yeah.
Then you're so excited to wear it.
And it reminds you, right?
It reminds you of what
like
you did.
You see that all, yes. Like every day.
Yes.
That's cool. Yeah.
Okay. So these are just some easy tips for you all to make habit changes. Remember, I'll say it again, start small. Expect it to be hard. Okay. Don't expect it to be easy. Habit change is hard. It is for all of us. You're not alone in this. Be consistent. That's so important. If you're going to do 3 days a week, stick to 3 days a week. Then you can get up to maybe 5 days a week, but consistently do it. Set those clear goals for yourself, okay? Set those goals. Make them actionable. Make them small, but set those goals. You got to just get going. Track your progress. Track what you're doing. Okay. Maybe it's like I said about how you want your clothes to fit. Maybe it's that you want to look at your journal and see that you've journaled for the last, last month you've journaled like 21 times. That's amazing. Keep going. Okay. Reward yourself with the good stuff. Maybe that's a trip. Maybe that's a new top, whatever it might be. Okay. And finally, and this is not something that a tip that I included on here, but I want to say this because you got me thinking about it when we were talking right now. Is when you're making changes in your life, remember to surround yourself with people who are like-minded. And that's a really important point and probably should be like the sixth tip. Surround yourself with people who are like-minded. So if you're somebody who wants to get into journaling, like I said earlier, surround yourself with people who also like to journal. Maybe join a journaling class. There are journaling classes you can join on Zoom, virtual ones. If you're wanting to make changes, like I can speak to this, you want to make changes in your body. Like I want to, build my muscle tone, get my musculature back up now that I'm in my menopause years that I've lost over the years. I want to get that back. You and I have a home gym we created during COVID, and I am pretty good at working out by myself and being independent as a triathlete. You know how to do it. There's so many. Well, you're almost always working out by yourself. As a triathlete, because you've got individual training plans, and my plan isn't the same as somebody else's plan. So I was often swimming, biking, and running by myself. There is something too, though, being with others. So, sometimes I get bored in our home gym, and I was just thinking, like, I need to go back to the gym that I belong to. There's something to just seeing other people working out. That does matter. It helps to keep you motivated. When you see other people on a treadmill, other people, squatting and doing deadlifts, that does make a difference. It helps to keep you going because when you're always by yourself, you're always solo, that can eat away at us a little bit. So find a community, find a walking group, find a running group, find a journaling club, find a knitting group that you could join if you're interested in knitting. Whatever you're interested in, I'm telling you, there's people out there who are also interested in it too. Bird watching. There's bird watching groups. Find those people and reach out and go. Okay. I want to say that that's important because we can't do this and we don't do it alone. What keeps us staying consistent is having people around us.
Yeah. And like that day when you want to sleep in, you won't do it.
No, you won't because you got somebody on the corner waiting for you
right.
And you blow it off. You don't want to blow them off because they'll be mad.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and that's very effective.
Yeah.
Okay, everyone. So please don't hesitate to reach out. I say it all the time. hello@annamarkalene.com. If you've got, anything that you want to say to me, if there's an episode that you want me to talk about, all the information, all of your insights and your opinions matter to me, okay? I do read your emails. I read the reviews. They matter, and I'm always looking to self-improve, okay? So that's number one. Number two, please share this episode and the podcast with anyone who you think might find this to be of value. Rate it. Review it with 5 stars. It does make all the difference. We're moving up in the rankings. Thank you. Thank you. I'm loving it. And we're just going to continue to be here and grow this podcast up so we can reach more people worldwide. All right. Mad love, everyone.